hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
A very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. We thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben. The program is Issues of Life from 8 to 10 p.m. I'm going to be with you. This program comes every Saturday and we talk about important things, the times we live in, the Bible and end times and all that. Indeed, we are getting to very interesting days that the Bible talks about. And for the last week, we were talking a bit about some things about the virus and the vaccine and matters arising. Tonight, we'll continue a bit from that aspect as well. And I believe these are the times we can talk about these things, because as I was saying the other time, the time will come when it will be outlawed to criticize or to talk against these things. So now that we have the time and opportunity to do so, we are making sure we say it, and that's it. I mean, as the Lord leads, we say it as it is. Eben, and tonight I'm here alone, but Brother Yao will be joining via phone in Accra. Okay. Let me go through some of the news in the course of the week, some of the things happening. And I always say that the world is not going to get any better. It's just getting off and worse. But the essence of these reminders is to alert us and to let us know that all is not well as it may seem on the surface. Things are happening behind the scenes. A lot of things are happening. But it's all, I mean, lines up just as the Bible said would happen, and it's indeed happening. If there was ever a time that, I mean, we should be excited reading the Bible, I believe these are the days, because the Bible is becoming more real and more of a living book more than ever before. Because you see headlines and you look at the Bible verses and you just see the correlation, how they just line up and they link up just as it is. Unfortunately, a lot of believers are asleep spiritually. And so even though things are happening right before our eyes, unfolding right before our eyes on our screens and in the news and elsewhere and everywhere, it seems it's just business as usual. People really don't care. People really don't see the big deal out of the things and the events unfolding. But to the listeners of Issues of Life, by the grace of God, I believe no listener will be surprised or should be surprised at the turn of things as things unfold, because there are some things we started saying them earlier in the course of this program some years back and all. And you know, when it comes to Bible prophecy and end times, all these things, it may look and seem like you are crazy. I mean, because it's like, you know, just as Noah, you can imagine how Noah seemed, looked like, in the eyes of the population then, the society then. I mean, it's like, it's coming to rain. I mean, what is that? I mean, oh. So, well, people would just mock, people would just laugh whilst he was doing, building the ark and preparing, gathering the animals. Seriously, it would, you can imagine, you know, if it were to be our time now, you know, live presentation, CNN, Fox News, this, radio, all the social media, bloggers, you know, people taking selfies, I mean, and mocking that old man. And, you know, it will look out of place and upset. But when the tables turned, they were the same people who were banging on the sides of the ark for him to allow them in. Unfortunately, that couldn't happen because it's God himself who shut it. You know, God in his own wisdom shut it, because had it been Noah who shut it, perhaps, I mean, humanitarian grounds, I mean, he may fail for them, but God himself knew the hearts of man. So even though we are living in the days of Noah, as even Jesus said, and it may seem as if things are, I mean, off when you tell people, they look at you strangely, which planet are you coming from? And don't give up, just stay focused. As I mean, let's put a house in order, prepare, grow. These are the times to really grow in the Lord. I mean, these are not the times to be wishy-washy or be part-time Christian or casual. No, lukewarm. No, these are not the times for that. These are the times for real serious Christian life, because if we don't fortify ourselves now spiritually, the days ahead are going to be much more difficult, and the opportunity we have now will be virtually, I mean, we'll look back and say that why didn't we prepare when we had the opportunity? And so by the grace of God, we are reminding you, we have the opportunity. Let us make good use of our time now. Let us make good use of our time now. These are not the times for entertainment. I mean, it's one of the last things that should even be on our shadows. I mean, these are serious times. These are very, very serious times. And I mean, the devil has unleashing demons, and you know, they know the time is short. They know the time is short. And it's unfortunate that ideally the church should have been ahead of these things. These calls for revival should have been a major clarion call across board, but unfortunately most are not seeing it that way. And I believe the essence of this program is to do just that. All right, let me get into some of the news items and then we continue. We have this one that says, virus expert says COVID will, quote, not go away, unquote, and could be around for the rest of our lives. A renowned Columbia University virus expert has warned COVID-19 is not going to go away and that life may never return to normal. We know that's what they want to do anyway. Dr. Ian Lipkin, director of the Center for Infection and Community and Immunity at the Columbia's Mailman School of Public Health, told Spanish newspaper El País in an interview published, the news is today, but this was somewhere in the course of the week, that the public is likely, quote, live the rest of our lives with this virus, unquote. He noted future generations will have to be vaccinated, and those who have received the treatment will still need additional booster doses. I hope you heard it. So one dose is not enough. You have to keep getting more doses. You know, this whole thing, something else, is going to be a recurring problem. I don't think life will ever be completely normal again, Dr. Lipkin added. You know, and he's quite an experienced man. I mean, many years of experience in various, during the 2003 SARS and the Middle East, MERS virus, all those ones, he was part of those research teams and all. So, well, that's what he's saying. You know, very interesting. And the last part of the paragraph says, the virus expert who has been contacted for comment by Newsweek told helpers the only way to return normality is to achieve what he called global group immunity, with between 60 to 80% of the world's population being deemed immune. Okay. And then, under part of it, article says that the, talking about the virus, the vaccine, says many countries have secured massive quantities of the leading virus candidates, leading to concerns that the treatment for developing countries or nations could be delayed. As noted by Dr. Lepkin, the candidates need to be stored at cold temperatures at negative 70 degrees Celsius for the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine, and then negative 20 degrees Celsius for the Moderna vaccine. Negative 70 degrees Celsius. And this is what they are going to put into your body. Hey. this issues. And then this one is quite an interesting one. China's Xi Jinping, the president, is pushing for a global COVID QR code. QR code, is this like mixed up image in a square which you can scan, and then, you know, recently our vice president also launched the QR code for payments, QR code. Yeah. It's a digital embedding, like, so you can embed any link or any information into it, a QR code. Now the Chinese president is calling for a global COVID QR code. So let me read. Chinese President Xi Jinping is pushing for a global COVID-19 tracking system using QR codes to help fast-track international travel and business during the coronavirus pandemic. China mandated the widespread use of QR-based health certificates earlier this year. The system, which uses an electronic barcode to store a person's travel and health history, has been credited with helping to curb the spread of the virus. The code issues users with a color code based on their potential exposure to the novel coronavirus. The colors are like traffic lights, green, safest, amber, and then finally red. Speaking at the virtual G20 leaders meeting on Saturday, Xi said that to ensure the smooth functioning of the world economy during the pandemic, countries need to coordinate a uniform set of policies and standards, according to state-run news agency Xinhua. Quote, China has proposed a global mechanism on the mutual recognition of health certificates based on nucleic acid test results in the form of internationally accepted QR code. We hope more countries will join the mechanism, according to him. Xi didn't explicitly say what type of app or QR code system he was suggesting or who would design and run it. Several countries have introduced tracking app technology to monitor citizens' movements and potential exposure to COVID-19, including Australia, Japan, and Singapore. But there is no coordination between the systems, and they have had varying degrees of success. A study by Oxford University in April found that if even just 56% of a country's population used a tracking app, it could severely suppress the COVID epidemic or pandemic. This is interesting because, one, he is calling for a global tracking system based on the vaccine or the virus, and automatically that means when the vaccine comes, the same thing will follow, because already that's what they started talking about. So, you know, the things surrounding this whole virus and the vaccine and matters arising is what is becoming a bit worrying, because you realize something is being linked up gradually. And that's what, I mean, I've been talking about on this program. I mean, not saying explicitly that the vaccine is the mark of the beast, no. But the systems around it, the things around it, and how they are going to use it, and all the consequences and all the things, matters arising and all, is what is beginning to create a system which is beginning to look like what the Bible talks about. And that's what we are talking about. And, you know, the next news is also similar. Health passports for air travel mean mandatory COVID-19 vaccines cloaked in the illusion of choice. That's the headline. An airline lobbying group has volunteered its service as private sector enforcer for the COVID vaccine mandates. Many countries have promised not to enact, but good luck flying or getting a job or government benefits without one. The CEO of Australian airline Qantas got a less than enthusiastic reaction earlier this week when he suggested all international travelers will soon be required to provide proof of vaccination against the novel coronavirus before they will be allowed on board. While establishment types thought it was a smashing idea, skeptics were horrified at the thought that a private corporation could force them to consume a pharmaceutical concoction just to fly. The most sinister aspect of such policy, however, is that it won't be forced at all, and those who want to travel can either take the rushed through side effect ridden vaccine or stay home. The illusion of choice, this is what is it? They are not saying take it by force, but the system is demanding it. So it's okay, it's still a choice. If you want to fly, get it, else stay home. And you see, this is how the whole thing is going to shape up. I mean, this is one company. I mean, Qantas Airline, I mean, Australian. Soon you hear this other airline is saying same, and that airline is saying same. And then eventually when you have IATA, which is the international, air travel, the main body regulating air travel, when they issue a statement that it should be mandatory for every flight, as the airlines are beginning to say, that is it. That means you can't go to any airport to fly without it. So right away, it's now a condition. Without it, you can't. You know, and it looks harmless. Well, oh, this is just a vaccine. What's the big deal? And I was having a chat with a friend today, and she said, she will not travel. I said, oh, yes, that's how it is. Oh, yeah, we'll not travel. But then, after you say you will not travel, then another business to say that without it, you can't come to our shop. Just as we have no mask, no entry now. Now they will start saying, if you don't have proof of the vaccine, don't come in. So though the government may not say it's compulsory, but individuals and businesses will start demanding it. So without it, you can't go here. Without it, you can't do that. You can't go and buy here. You can't go and sell here. Then is it not the same system the Bible talks about, that you can't buy or sell, that we are entering? So the systems being created around this thing is where the issues begin to raise the red flags that we talk about. You know, and it's even more interesting when, you know, a few years ago, I remember Bill Gates also, you know, pushing money to join this program where, to launch satellites, tracking satellites all over the world. To, you know, ask yourself, to track what? What do they want to see? Surveillance satellites. Why do you want to see, track people on the ground to see what? You see, so you things are just linking up gradually. Things are just linking up gradually. Then the next news item is yesterday, you know, in Iran, a prominent Iranian scientist who allegedly ran the state's nuclear program assassinated in Tehran. And Mohsen Farizadeh was fatally injured in an ambush on his car outside the capital, Tehran, on Friday, before dying from his injuries in the hospital, according to Iranian Defense Ministry. Unfortunately, the medical team did not succeed in reviving him, And a few minutes ago, the manager and scientist achieved the high status of martyrdom after years of effort and struggle, unquote, according to their statement. And already fingers are pointing towards Israel that they are behind it. Well, it's a bit coincidental that this week they also said that they were getting ready in case maybe Donald Trump orders a strike or attack against Iran. And strangely, after they said they were putting their house in order in preparedness against the Iranians, this thing happens yesterday. Such an interesting coincidence. But Iran says today, or they said today, that they are going to retaliate swiftly. So as to where they are going to retaliate, they only know. But it just increases and pushes the stake of confusion in the Middle East to another level, because this is coming after months ago where the U.S. used their drone to also kill their top general, and that was a big blow to them. And this one too comes in months later. But, well, it's all part. The Middle East issues never seem to end. Let's see how things play out, because already U.S. has sent one their strike group, the aircraft carrier, one of the strike groups, to the Middle East immediately after this event, knowing that Israel could be attacked by Iran or something can happen. So, I mean, in preparedness, they've moved there. You know, escalating the tension and the rumors of wars again in those places. And then to India, there is this Indian where we have radical Hindus demand that government deny benefits to Christian converts. And, you know, the hatred for Christianity there is something else now. It's gotten to pitch high. And radical Hindu groups in India have launched a campaign to stop the country's tribal or indigenous people from converting to Christianity by demanding that the government ban those who convert from receiving education and employment opportunities, according to reports. A group called Janajati Suraksha Mank in eastern Odisha state wrote to Indian Prime Minister Mr. Modi and President Ram Nath Kovind this month, urging them to exclude converted tribal people from availing reservations in educational institutions and government and public sector jobs, as well as other protections that the country's constitution provides for. And, you know, it's just absurd. It doesn't make sense. Because someone chooses to convert to Christianity, are they no longer citizens of the country? But this is the level of thinking that these people have against Christians. The persecution, Christians are being persecuted, being brutalized. I mean, it's unfortunate, but these are the times we live in. Then we also have new legislation could see Christians in Victoria, this is Australia, jailed for 10 years for attempting to convert people. And this is worrying, because you have the legislation introduced in the Victorian government could see Christians hit with heavy fines and lengthy jail terms for attempting to convert LGBTQ people to Christianity, or teaching certain portions of the Bible. The change, or suppression, into bracket, conversion practices prohibition bill 2020 will empower the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission to investigate reports of, quote, conversion therapy practices, quote unquote, conversion therapy practices, which may include activities as simple as prayer, praying for someone is classified as conversion therapy. In a report released with the legislation, the government quoted an anonymous survivor who said he had suffered mentally, physically, and spiritually after attending a prayer session with a small group of Christians associated with a church in New South Wales. It goes on to say that the anonymous witness suggested he suffered suicidal edition and complete breakdown as a result of the group encouraging repentance from what the Bible defines as sexual immorality. According to The Guardian, quote, practitioners of conversion therapy seeking to change someone's sexuality or gender identity and found to have caused serious injury could face up to 10 years jail under the criminal sanctions proposed in the legislation. Those who try to avoid the law in Victoria by sending people to conversion therapy out of the state could also face criminal sanctions and fines up to a maximum of $10,000, unquote. For former homosexual Ken Williams, now co-founder of Equipped to Love, he has opposed similar legislation in the U.S., saying not only does it deny his experience and others like him, but it also removes the rights of others to even question their sexuality. According to Williams, there are a number of reasons why anti-conversion legislation should be opposed. First, it lumps all efforts to change sexual orientation into the same demonized category, regardless of how benign and helpful they might be. Williams uses the example of a 12-year-old boy who believes he is a female after being sexually assaulted for years. According to such legislation, quote, the prescribed treatment for that child would be a personal embracing of femininity and would likely include puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgical removal of his penis and testicles, and permanent sterilization. Should this child not be afforded a right to explore potential causes of his gender confusion and potential pathways that might allow him to reintegrate with his biological birth sex? Second, such legislation incorrectly suggests that no therapy or help from religious institutions has proven helpful or effective for people desiring to change. And indeed, this is a lie, because a lot of people have changed from LGBTQ, whatever, to their normal, correct, gender, and they are living fine and well after that. But you see, it goes on and on, but this is the whole thing. The attack is to stop Christians from letting people come out of those sinful lifestyles. So, making it a crime to the extent that we can go to prison for 10 years if you dare preach, pray, advise, counsel someone that being a lesbian or homosexual or transgender or queer or whatever is wrong, it's a sin and all that, and Jesus can save you, you can be delivered, all those things being criminalized. The devil just wants to hold on to those people's lives till they die and go to hell. Don't come and convert them. So they are using their people in government and in power and position to now come up with laws to ensure that those people remain as they are in their bondage till they go to hell. Because now this makes it difficult for the church there and Christians there to convert people or to preach to people, because 10 years in imprisonment, how many churches would there go ahead? How many pastors, how many Christians would there go ahead to talk to someone that this lifestyle is a sin? So repent. Jesus can save you. Jesus loves you. God loves you. Now you dare say it and you can end up in prison for 10 years. So you see, and laws like these are going to spread to other places as well. It's already Canada, parts of Canada, they are pushing for similar things like that. And I don't know whether they finalized this in parts of Canada. And then, in some states in U.S. too, they are pushing it at hate speech and all that. See, parts of Europe, hate speech, So the whole thing is, do not talk about them. Just let them be. It's their choice. Let them live in that lifestyle. Don't say anything. If you say anything negative about it, that means you hate them. So hate speech, they can report you and you can be fined, you can be jailed. So the world is just getting off the cliff of immorality, and all attempts to correct people and to get people saved, the devil is trying to block those avenues. And see, this is where now it calls for more prayer from the side of the church, because that means more intercession is needed to save people, to really convict, the Holy Spirit to convict them and all that. It's it's quite a Herculean task, but that's where the church has to now rise up and rise up above this intimidation and bullying that is happening. Fortunately for us in Ghana, well, we don't have these issues in terms of the church intimidation as is happening in other places. And then, this one is really some way. This headline, Christianity is harmful and must be criminalized. This is a suggestion according to Amnesty International. Christianity is harmful and must be criminalized. It's also in line with the LGBT people again. You know, I remember some years back, one prophecy the Lord gave one pastor, some I've forgotten which place, was that one of the intimidating and one tool that will be used to persecute Christians before, I mean, the last days or before he, I mean, Jesus comes, is going to be this LGBTQ people. Laws like these things, laws, as I just read about the Victoria place in Australia, and, you know, where they are going to use these things to target Christians. As you hate people, you are the troublemakers, you are this, you are that, and just, I mean, Amnesty International, I mean, for them to say, and, you know, let me just read portions of it. It says, Amnesty International has suggested Christianity must be criminalized in Australia because it is harmful to individuals who identify as LGBTQA+. Wow. A+, I mean, some of them. Martin Ailes, the managing director of the Australian Christian Lobby, shared on social media a graphic produced by the international organization. The image was designed to outline the experience of modern survivors of conversion practices. According to Amnesty International's infographic, examples of modern-day conversion practices in Australia include reading the scriptures, prayer, teaching abstinence, and encouraging repentance from what the Bible defines as quote-unquote sin. You know, this is serious. Let me repeat if you didn't hear it well. According to Amnesty International's infographic, examples of modern-day conversion practices in Australia include reading the scriptures, number one, two, prayer, three, teaching abstinence, four, encouraging repentance from what the Bible defines as quote and unquote sin. The image titled Conversion Practices in Australia is a 9-frame comic that follows. I'll upload it on the issues, spiritissues.info website, the news article. I'll upload it this evening so you can download it and see the image for yourself. Like this. So they've done it like a comic strip, and then they've written various descriptions there. The graphic explains that while the conversion movement is broad and can include children, healthcare professionals, and paid services, these forms are extremely rare in Australia. Instead, it's argued that the legislation, to be truly effective, it must address the far more prevalent experiences outlined in the graphic, namely Christian expression. That means the whole target, Christians. Christian expression. So one instance is written, what does a typical modern survivor of conversion practices look like in Australia? An LGBTQA adult who has grown up in or joined a faith community. Then, quote, from a young age, they absorbed messages about LGBTQA+ people. And then, quote, like a pastor says, being LGBTQA+ is a form of brokenness. Christian, I prayed for a lesbian to be healed from her past trauma. And then, and began to realize that the messages apply to them. So on and on and on. So trying to create scenarios of how these people can feel intimidated when they are with Christians or in church and all that. And this is what makes Christianity dangerous, according to Amnesty International. You know, it tells you the hatred is increasing to absurd levels. You know, we know the UN already, UN is anti-Christian. these, global agencies and bodies and all, they all hate, they're all anti-Christians, you know, so it doesn't come as a surprise, but it's getting to levels where it's becoming exactly purely persecution against Christians being formulated in various ways. You know, I know someone, top-ranking person, Christian, PhD, but he had to stop working for UN agency because of this intimidation, because you can't do this, you can't say this, he had to stop. You know, we've gotten to that point where to be at some levels in the society, at some high levels, and you either you compromise your faith or you just cannot fit in. That's where we are now. There are some positions where either you compromise your faith or you can't fit in as a Christian, because it's clear. Christians are not welcome there. If you fit in, then that means you are a lukewarm. It's only a lukewarm Christian who can fit in, because then you compromise and put your values aside and just, pretend to be okay with them and all. But if you want to hold high the banner of Christ, the values of Christianity, the living, the lifestyle of a full Christian and all, you want to really say it as it is and all, that you can't be in some positions and in some places and in some organizations, these international organizations and all that. But that is it. These are the prizes. This is the price that people have to pay for following Christ. And the last news item is Christian actress wins backing from theologian in lawsuit over firing for Facebook post citing the Bible. A Christian actress who filed a lawsuit citing religious discrimination after her firing from a lead role in a stage production for publicly expressing her views on homosexuality has received support in her case from a renowned theologian. The 26-year-old actress, Seyi Omuba, lost her job in a theater production of The Color Purple last year over a 2014 Facebook post. Can you imagine? This post was done in 2014 and someone saw it and reported it. So she had to lose her job. You know, it's crazy. Over a 2014 Facebook post in which she wrote that she did not, quote, not believe homosexuality is right, unquote, and people were not born gay, according to the Telegraph, which said that she was a student in 2014 and her contract with Kev Theatre in Leicester, England, was also terminated. The Employment Appeals Tribunal held a preliminary hearing against her former employer and agent, Global Artist, for breach of contract and religious discrimination on Thursday, and a full tribunal will be held in February 2021, the newspaper reported. You know, this is just an example of what I'm talking about. The intimidation against Christians is overwhelming. It's really overwhelming. And most of the time, it's against these LGBT people. Don't talk about them. Once you say anything about them, trouble. People have no idea the magnitude of this issue if you don't know some or you don't interact with some. But it's really worrying and depressing, because I he doesn't see me as a friend any longer. I had a friend, a neighbor, a childhood friend. We grew up in the same community, the same street. We were in the same church and all that. And apparently, the things I posted on Facebook, he wasn't pleased. He was in the U.S. He's still in the U.S. anyway. And so it was later I realized he had unfriended me and blogged me long. I didn't even know, and so, he did his gay wedding. I saw the pictures and all that. So that's when I checked and I realized he had blogged me as a friend. Apparently, the things I post and all, he's not happy about it. So he, and this affected him, affected the parents. The father thought about it, and then the father eventually died not long ago. These things can really be devastation that can destroy a home. A Christian home brought up in the fear of God, but so these things are really, really worrying for parents who end up having to see these things in their homes, it's just the grace of God. It's something else too. And so the challenge is real out there. It's really there. I mean, the challenge is there. It's really, really serious. But the system is trying to hold them from getting saved. So it's like, don't talk about them. Don't talk about them. If you talk about them, you hate them. You hate. So the system has been made it look like if you say anything opposite what they, the lifestyle they choose and what they live by, that means you hate them. So the definition of love that we Christians have, that you want to address someone in love, they see it as hatred. Because saying the truth from the Bible is deemed and classified as hatred, because they see the Bible as a hate book, as some even call it. And it's really, really, really unfortunate. But these are the times we live in. I'll be back after this short break, and we'll continue from there.
Contrite of heart, crying out to you in repentance. Overwhelm us now in your holiness. Reignite the flame within. Seek cleansing and forgiveness, for our hearts they turn away. Restore us to the place where we desire only you. Desire only you. Fill our hearts, O Lord, with your righteousness. Renew in us the joy of salvation. Overwhelm us now in your holiness. Reignite the flame within. Turn away, restore us to the place where we desire only you, desire only you. We seek cleansing and forgiveness, for our hearts they turn away, restore us to.
Hey, I hear you won the chance to have God answer any question you ask.
Yes, I did.
What are you going to ask?
Why do your shoestrings only break when you're in a hurry? You know how that is. You're late for an interview.
Wait, that's it?
Yeah.
You can ask God anything. Why don't you ask him something profound, like, what's the meaning of life?
I thought about that, but that was answered through King Solomon in the Bible.
Oh, well then how about, why do bad things happen to good people?
The book of Job answers that. I wanted to ask something the Bible doesn't address.
What about, what does God want you to do?
The book of John, chapter 6. I tell you, with all the answers the Bible has, reading it is like having God right there in your living room. The thing I didn't see addressed was shoestrings.
Oh, okay. By the way, stressful situations cause you to use excessive force. Thus, you break your shoestrings.
Fine. Now I have to come up with another question.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Mr. Johnson, welcome to Judgment. Have a seat while I examine your life.
Sure. Does it say anything in there about me believing in God?
Yes, it does say you believed in the existence of a God.
Oh, good. I hear that's real important.
Well, I've seen enough. If you could have a seat with that group over there, you'll be taken to your destination.
Over there? Oh, okay.
Next!
Excuse me?
Yes?
Is that Satan in my group?
Yes, it is. Next!
Wait a minute. You're putting me in the same group with Satan?
According to your records, you never trusted your life to God.
Hold on. I believed in God.
So did Satan, Mr. Johnson. He didn't put his faith in God either.
What do you mean, put my faith in God?
It is not enough to believe in the existence of a God or a cosmic force or deity. Mr. Johnson, you were sinful, and God was willing to forgive you through his son Jesus. Problem is, you never asked for or accepted his forgiveness. Next.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
All right, welcome back. This is Spirit 88.3 FM, and the program is Issues of Life. You know, let me read John 16, verse 13, that says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." And the emphasis is, "And he will show you things to come." That's who? The Holy Spirit will show us things to come. Technically, that means the things to come which are not even written in the Word of God, the things to come which we are not aware of, but he is going to show us things to come. I mean, you can liken it to Joel 2:28. It also talks of, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." What dreams and what visions are they going to see? That means God is going to give extra information, things which are not written or which we are not aware of, but is going to show us in the end time dreams, visions. And then the Holy Spirit's role, one of his mandates, is to show us things to come. So the reason why God gave this in Joel is the fact that the time for the end, the people in the end time, the latter times, will need extra information to navigate through the times they are in. And, you know, God in his wisdom, if he is to put everything in the Word of God together, the people who are not in the end time, a lot of the information then will not be beneficial to them because they don't need it. If you are not in the living in the end time, you don't need the end time information for anything. But the people in the end time will need to be given the necessary and needed information for the times they live in. So that's the essence why the Holy Spirit is going to now show us things to come, as well as also the dreams and the visions from God regarding he, his plans and things. So it's not out of place when God is revealing things to people in various places about the times we are in and things that are coming and the warnings and the do's and the don'ts and all that. Of course, it all lines up with scripture anyway because it's still back to the same things regarding the Word of God. But these are extra information to let us understand where we are and what is ahead and how to prepare and all that. But unfortunately, most times we turn a blind ear to these things and it's like, oh, it doesn't matter. But if as I was saying earlier in the program, you look at the state of the world now, you look at the plans for the world leaders, the globalists, as they call them, about this great reset and the building back better, as they've started calling it to now. And in their own words, like, the COVID presents itself as a perfect opportunity to reset the world. You know, you ask yourself, what is wrong with this world? I mean, what is wrong with the world that we have to reset it? The bottom line is simple. They have to reset it to their standard. Not this God thing, no. They want to reset it to how they want it, how they, the globalists, want it. And see, for most people who don't understand a lot of the dynamics of the reason why Trump was hated by the world leaders, it's because of this whole thing. He is a nationalistic person, nationalist, thinking about his country. He's not part of he doesn't think about the globalists. He actually criticizes them at the UN and all. So, you see, and now they don't want leaders like that who think about their country first and their country only. They are thinking one world, the world. We are together, the world system. They think that's how. So the leading powers, that's their mission. One world system is what they are working on. And now they used to call it the new world order. Now they are now using the phrase great reset to reset the world. And now build back better. I mean, it's all the same thing. They are using different phrases to describe. But you see, when you look at the points they are projecting and what they are striving to achieve, can't see this COVID, because the COVID, as they said, has presented a perfect opportunity to reset the world. So until they're able to reset it, no wonder in some countries the lockdown is still pending. I mean, in some states, in some places, 6 months, 7 months, 5 months, 4 months, and businesses are collapsing. People are in abject poverty now. Yesterday, I saw, you know, queues upon queues of various places with people who have lost jobs and are filing for unemployment benefits in some states in the U.S., you know, because their businesses have collapsed. Because they believe that let's put the world on a hold till we get what we want, the reset that we want, the building back better that we want. So they don't care about you, your business collapsing, they don't care. I mean, it's about what they want to achieve globally. And when you look at all that, and then the fact that we have a disease which, survival rates, the infection rates and all these things are nowhere comparable to, I mean, other things we've known in time past and all that. But because of this, the world is virtually put on a standstill. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here, you can't do, until we get the vaccine, until we get the vaccine. Now they've started saying that even when the vaccine comes, we still have to practice social distancing. We still have to put on nose masks. And some are even now saying, some experts have started saying that even you have to keep getting extra doses to sustain yourself going forward again and all. So you ask yourself, so what is all this whole thing about? You see, their own words, they keep saying, this thing presents itself as the perfect time to reset the world. And if you look at the mandates, the things they want to do, it fits exactly into the one world system, the Antichrist system that we've been talking about and all. These are the things they are working towards. These are the things they are seeking to put into place. So it makes you now see that we are not too far off from the times the Bible warned about. No, we are not too far from those times at all. Things are virtually narrowing down towards these times the Bible has been warning about. God has been giving numbers of countless visions, dreams, prophecies to various people, various countries about the times we are in and the times ahead and how to prepare and what is coming. So what we see now in the news and we are seeing and we are hearing should be a wake-up call to know that we are at a critical moment in our walk with the Lord, in our Christian life, in our lifetime, that we must now put our house in order and get serious with God eventually. We have no option. Either we get serious with God or we should just forget about the Christian walk, because we are pushing to the point where it's either you are a serious Christian or you are not a Christian at all, because there's not going to be room for lukewarmness. There's not going to be room for casual Christians. There's not going to be room for pure warmers, or, you know, people who just call themselves Christians are just a slogan. You know, we are headed to the point where it's either you are a Christian, truly born again, spirit filled, tongue talking, whatever Christian, or you are not a Christian at all. We cannot have that blend of, I mean, you know, here a little, there a little type of Christian. No, Sunday Christian, Monday through Saturday, worldly, then Sunday Christian. We are getting to that point where you can't survive as a Christian that way. Because you should define your stand. Either you are with the Lord or you are with the world. And the essence for these warnings are to wake up the lazy ones to realize that, yes, we've slept for some time, but a time comes that you have to wake up from your slumber. We can't sleep forever. We can't sleep all the time. A time comes where you have to wake up from our slumber. And if we don't, then we'll be caught off guard, because, you know, things are turning up really at a very fast rate. You know, I saw someone post that said, that's for 2021. You know, people already, I mean, some unconscious fear has started coming into some people as to what lies ahead in 2021. Because the way 2020 has shaken the system, you know, people are wondering, wow, if this is 2020, then what is the extra plus one going to add to it? But the truth is, from the Bible side of things, and from the prophetic side of the warnings and all that, I don't think 2021 is going to be any better. No. I don't think it's going to be any better. That is why we need to get deeper in the Lord. That's why we need to strengthen ourselves and to build ourselves to withstand and to overcome and to be able to survive whatever is ahead. Because it's clear, I mean, things are not going to get better. Even the globalists say that we are not going, the world as we know it is not going back. I mean, one of the news I read said, yes, we are not going back to normal life again. So if they, who lead and control this world affairs, the world leaders and all, say we are not going back to normal life as we know it, then you should know that indeed, yes, we are not going to normal life as we know it. So that means we need extra spiritual strength to sustain ourselves in whatever is coming ahead. Because we are not going to normal life as we know it. They've said it and they keep saying it. So that's why, see, earlier the impression was, oh, when a vaccine comes, then with that you can do this. I mean, let me read one quote by Bill Gates, for instance, on this vaccine things. He said, He said, we need to develop a digital certificate that shows who has received all the vaccinations. Only those with all the required vaccinations may travel, visit churches, participate in sports and music events, get a job, etc. In other words, if you don't have the travels, the digital certificate, you know, for those who are online, you have access to the internet, go to spiritissues.info. spiritissues.info. I posted a link there. I shared this somewhere in during the lockdown periods about, but I shared it again today. You can get to the spiritissues.info, and then there's this link on the homepage. The title is the cryptocurrency system using body activity data, and you can click to read more. You see, it will amaze you to note that, this one will take you to the World Intellectual Property website. And look at the code. This is a patent registered by Microsoft. And the publication number for the patent. I mean, yes, numbers can be numbers, but of all the numbers in the world, the patent number for their registration for the cryptocurrency system using body activity data. That means using your something will be in you, your body, for you to be able to do transaction, payments, remotely or whichever way. The code, the number of all the numbers, W02020-06-06-06. Why not 050605? Why not 040604? Why 060606? Of all the numbers in the world, why were they given this code as the things are just lining up gradually right before our eyes. This is intellectual. I mean, their website, go to issues, spiritissues.info, and then you see the link, cryptocurrency system using body data. And then the read more takes you to the World Intellectual Property website, where they have the registration for Microsoft, a patent that they registered, international patent, cryptocurrency system using body activity data. And, you know, they have a little sketch of how transactions to be made in the human body, in the device, abstract is there and all. I mean, you can read it later and all that. But the emphasis is on the number. Why that number? Why that code? 060606. 2020. Then 060606. It's not that it's even the date. No, that's not the date. So it's the code itself. Then the code for the patent. Of all the, we have 0 to 9 combinations. They didn't give them any other set of numbers except 060606. And then we all know the owner of that company, Microsoft, Bill Gates. You see, so when things are linked, you put like a puzzle, like a jigsaw puzzle. As you put things together, things are beginning to take shape the more. Unfortunately, people still don't want to see it as it is. Because clearly it tells you that something is, they have an agenda with this, to link this to human body for payments. Because, you see, when he says digital certificates, now look at what the Chinese leader too was saying, the QR code, digital. It's all linking up, digital. This week, our vice president was making a lot of noise. Ghana, we are leading in Africa, one of the leading in digitization. It's true. Yeah, for that one, it's very true. But, you see, I was telling a friend that the way Ghana, we are racing along the track of digitization, a lot of things will be tested here faster than we thought. Yeah. The world is moving towards digitization. So when they are talking of travel certificate, digital certificate, QR code, and all these things, linking it to the vaccine, without it, you can't do this. Without it, you can't do this. Let's get into the Bible now. And so that people can appreciate the link when it comes to what the Bible is also talking about. Revelation chapter 13, let me read the last part. Verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Verse 16. Revelation 13, now going to 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, that's everybody, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. 17. That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark. And see, let's take note of something here. The verse 17. It talks of three different systems. So it says that you cannot buy or sell unless you have saved the mark, number one, or the name of the beast, number two, or the number of his name, number three. In other words, you need either of these three systems to be able to transact business to survive, to buy or to sell. Any of these three, you need one of these three. So either the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Over the period, emphasis has always been, no, the mark. But there are three different systems which will all, either of them will be, I mean, allow you to be able to buy or to sell. Now, here is the case where we are gradually seeing a system which is linking, is pointing towards a restrictive system like this, where without it, you can't do this, without it, you can't do that. Shouldn't it ring a bell? Shouldn't it ring a bell? Especially, it's not just one country, but they are talking of the world, global. That alone, I mean, should even raise the red flag higher, because had it been just US, no problem. Just, well, only there. But had it been UK alone, no problem. But this agenda now, they are talking of the whole world. The whole world. The Chinese president said it's global, a global tracking system. Global, the whole world. The whole world, tracking. I mean, more countries are putting up CCTV cameras more than ever before. Accra alone, 10,000 CCTV cameras are being fixed. They fix the number of them. I mean, when I go to Accra, I keep seeing them. Eventually, more countries, Kumasi by all means, already we have a few more will be coming. Countries, you see, every country is doing it bits, little by little, but the shape, we are shaping, the puzzle is taking shape a little at a time. Gradually, the picture is becoming clearer. For those who still want to see, you can see. The picture is becoming clearer and clearer. Gradually, the picture is becoming clearer that we are seeing what the Bible is warning about. But unfortunately, people say, it's not it. But that's where we are headed. Because, I mean, when in the history of the world have all world, I mean, it's like the whole world has virtually been brought to a standstill with a condition that we need this for the world to kickstart again. We need, without this, we can't do that. Without this, you can't go here. Without, it hasn't happened. But now, it's beginning to happen. It's beginning to unfold. Gradually, we'll get to the point where that means if, I mean, someone was saying that, so that means if you are in UK or in the US and you don't take the vaccine, that means you are stuck. You can't come to Ghana again. Yes, that's it. You can't come. Because when the airlines begin to enforce it, and I know by all means IATA, they will enforce it at the IATA level. That's the international airline or whatever. I mean, the travel the organization, the main international air traffic organization. When they issue that statement that every airline should mandate it, without, you can't, even Ghana, without, I mean, PCR tests, those coming in last 2 weeks or so, they issued warning to all the airlines that if they bring anyone in who hasn't got a PCR test, they'll fine the airline for each person that hasn't got a PCR test. They'll fine the airline $3,500 as a penalty for flying in someone into Ghana without a vaccine, a COVID PCR test result. You see, so this is just the result of the test. So if a vaccine is in place and they say that it should be mandatory for anyone who wants to fly in the aeroplane, the same thing will apply. Without it, you can't leave your country to another country. So, you see, it looks like, oh, what's the big deal? But it's limiting, it's going to bring limitations, and gradually it will be expanded. It will be expanded to other areas and other things. So when we begin to see these things, the wisest thing we Christians can do is, let me read the verse 18. Revelation 13, 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, of a man, and his number is 666. I believe one prayer we should pray now as believers is for God to give us the wisdom for the times we live in. We need it. We need it more than any other thing now. The wisdom for the times we live in. Because, you see, We need wisdom to navigate and understand what is happening. We need wisdom to know what to do. We need wisdom to understand the will of God. We need wisdom to know what is coming. Because you can have information or you can get information, but if you don't have the necessary wisdom to understand it and decode it well, that information is meaningless and useless to you. So we need that wisdom, because for this verse to say that here is wisdom, that means you need wisdom to understand the system that this verse is talking about. It's going to be a system. It's going to be a system, a man system. A man, and that says that a man system that is going to control the world. But we need wisdom to understand it. And who gives wisdom? If we go to James 1 verse 5, he says, if we lack wisdom, let's ask him, and he gives. James 1 5 says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We need wisdom. We need it more than anything. Because if we don't get the... There should be a special wisdom for the times we are in. Because you can't use the old school knowledge of the end time that pastors were taught in Bible school. You know, we were doing some discussion some time back, and the analogy was that, you know, the people who wrote, a lot of the end time books and all that, most of them were written by people who did not see even 10% of what we are seeing today in our news. So they were a lot of them were limited with information. They didn't see a lot of the things we are seeing now. So their understanding, a lot of it was limited. So now, if some of them are to be alive now, they will have like revised edition, you know, in books. When people write books, they revise it to add more information, to modernize information and all that. Uh-huh. If a lot of the end time books that were written years back, the authors are alive today, I can be very sure that a lot of them will revise their books and write it to now, add extra things, because that at the time they were writing it, they didn't see or imagine some of the things we are seeing now in real time. Now we are fortunate to be seeing these things. And now we have a greater advantage than the previous generations. So our understanding of where we are now is clearer than those people. Because those people had to imagine more of how it can be like. Because they were not seeing it, but they had to imagine and assume and write these things. Now, we are not imagining, we are not assuming, we are seeing it unfolding. So we have an advantage of understanding the times we are in compared to previous generations. Let me give an example. If in 1980, you are to ask a child to write something about a mobile phone, write a phone about a phone, and then you tell the child, the phone that has no cordless phone, write about it. Or even an adult to write an essay about a cordless phone in 1980. How many pages can a person write? How many pages? Because you can't assume and imagine there's a phone that is cordless. In 1980, there was no cordless phone. Technically, there was no... So you can't assume there's something that's like that. Now, fast forward to our time. A child that is in class 3, class 2, class 4 can write pages of an essay on a mobile phone. Because the apps alone, if you have to write about the major apps alone, a phone can do this. It can calculate. You can listen to radio. You can watch TV on it. You can write a whole lot of things regarding the mobile phone now, because in the era that the child is in now, he doesn't have to assume what a mobile phone is, because he sees it and plays games on it. It's a real-time thing. He sees it as a reality. But in the same vein, that same mobile phone, if you were to ask an adult in 1980 to write an essay about it. He, I mean, unless he's so imaginative and can, he'll be limited. He can't write much. That's the same thing regarding the end times we find ourselves in now. God, we are now seeing more than our predecessors. So we are having a better understanding. And you see, that is how God made it. That's why he says the Holy Spirit will teach us things to come. So the things the Holy Spirit is teaching us now and giving us better clarity and understanding, he didn't give it to previous generations because they didn't need that information, because they were not in that period. They didn't need it, because what's the use of teaching them when they are not even going to use it? Because they are not going to experience the things we are experiencing. So we need extra information compared to the previous generations. So that's why we need that wisdom from above to be able to move through the times we are in. Because without that wisdom from above, we will fall for deception. Because the level of deception that is already unfolding. Someone wrote something yesterday, and I even shared it on my wall, that, I mean, how the media has been able to deceive people, the Antichrist will not struggle at all when it comes. And this is so obvious when you look at the U.S. election, how the media controlled information. The media virtually controlled who won the election, because they suppressed information that could have even changed the election results, because had people even known more about, I mean, Joe Biden's son's laptop scandal and all those things, a survey this week was showing that about 15% said they would not have voted for him had they known that he was involved together with the son in a laptop scandal with, I mean, some deals, payments, and all those things. But the media knew that if this information comes out, people would not vote for him. So they suppressed it. They decided they won't talk about it. CNN, all of them, they said they won't talk about it. You post it on Twitter, they remove it. Facebook, they remove it. Because they didn't want people to see, for it to influence their decisions. That is how the media will champion the cause of the Antichrist system. And the way the media is so powerful now, including the social media, they control information. You post something and they say, no, fact checkers. Even sometimes the fact checking is wrong, but they say this is the correct thing. Now they control what people should know and how people should think. So the media will just champion the cause of these globalists so easily. And that's why last week I saw something very interesting when one CNN presenter was very furious and angry, and his reason was that there's a conservative social media platform where a lot of conservatives, I mean, who were angry with Twitter and Facebook, were moving to. And he was angry because there's a platform where conservatives can express themselves freely without anyone blocking them or removing them. I said, wow. Now what happened to freedom of speech? But you see, this is how it begins. When information is controlled, what you should know is being controlled. And so when now they say this person is the world, this is the person that we should lead, I mean, we should follow, so everybody should follow, how they can deceive the world to follow him is not going to be any difficult thing at all. From what I see, the way the media has become powerful now, they will control how people think, and they already think, I mean, controlling the way people are thinking. So that means the media now is going to be a major role player in the times we are in. That's why we have to be careful with, I mean, what we consume. Because I've been saying it on this show for a number of times, how they are using the entertainment industry to change our thinking, destroy our children, even adults. The entertainment, the media, these things are being used to shape us away from God and turn us away from God. And it's not just a one-day, overnight type of thing. It's a gradual programming, well-designed by specialists and experts. I mean, for some of you don't know, but even Facebook, for instance, that what's on your mind, that thing there, what's on your mind that you post your things, money was paid to a consultant to do that research, that what's on your mind, that place. Someone was paid money to do research and consultant and was paid for it. You know, they know how to control our minds. The media is powerful. The entertainment industry, another powerful force. They are using these things to shape our thinking and draw us away if we are not careful. So that's why we need to be grounded now, because the deception that is coming, if you are not well grounded, you will be swayed and you will be deceived. Because, you see, it will look like everybody is saying this, so that should be correct. And that's how, now that's where we find ourselves in now. Because the media says this, so that means it's correct. Everybody says it's correct. But that's not what is happening. And that's where we as Christians should now be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Because that's one of the mandates for him in John 16:13. He is to teach us. He is our teacher. And also to show us what is to come. So, I mean, what better again can we ask for? When the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And then he's going to show us what is to come. If we obey and we follow, we are led by him and he lives in us. You know, we live according to a life that pleases him. And he is with us. That means he's the best friend we can have now. He's the best friend we need now, especially now that the deception is unfolding and is even going to get worse. This is the time where we need to be in link and in sync with the Holy Spirit more than ever before. Because we need now to walk in the Spirit and he has to lead us. But if we are off the track, how can he lead us? And how can he be with us? How can he guide us? So instead of he teaching us and leading us and guiding us and showing us what is to come, the devil is also drawing us away with various sins and things which keeps us struggling in our Christian life on and off, on and off, so we can't achieve a successful Christian life. And it's all part of the plan to frustrate us to the point where we can't commune with the Holy Spirit effectively. Because if you can't commune with him effectively, that means your information source is also being reduced and you are cutting yourself off. So we need to revive ourselves. We need to get back on track. This is the time it's not an option again. It's a must. If we want to be as serious about our Christian life, it's a must that we get back on track. Because, I don't know how else to put it again. If you still don't believe that this is the times we are in, are perilous times, as Paul wrote to Timothy, I don't know what else you have to see before you believe this is the. If in the days of time it was perilous times, then I don't know how he would have described it if he's even writing the letters now. If in those days, perilous times were coming, they were seeing things and we are now seeing the things he talked about. I believe it was what we are seeing is far, far, far serious than any generation has seen. And as believers, this is the time to understand that, you know, let me read 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. It says shall come. It's not may come. Shall come. It's a must that perilous times shall come. And we are seeing everything he wrote there. We are seeing it. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This one, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We are virtually seeing it everywhere, even in the church. Christians we love the world more than we love God. We love God, the world, worldliness. We love the world more than we love God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, these people, all the things, they are in the church. And he says, these perilous times shall come. These are the definition, the things when you see these things, you know, the perilous time. If you take time and you go through one by one, each of them, you see it, everything there is happening in our time in greater proportions compared to previous times and previous generations. So if this is not the perilous times that the Bible talked about, then when? Compare it to other things the Bible talks about in various parts, Bible prophecies. You know, it's like, as I keep saying, it's like a puzzle. Bring the pictures together. And then as you bring them closer and you arrange them, the picture is becoming clearer and clearer where we are in Bible prophecy. The picture is becoming clearer and clearer every day. The headlines are virtually screaming out that this is it. Previous generations, the pastors, the prophets, the apostles, Christian fathers and generals and all this, they wish to see a fraction of what we are seeing now. They just wish to see it because they were reading the Bible, but they were not seeing it. They were looking forward that Jesus will come. They were reading the Bible, but they were not seeing these things the Bible wrote about as we are seeing. Now, you just read the Bible, you put on CNN, change channels a bit, and virtually you are seeing Bible prophecy unfolding. Unless maybe you can't link up the various verses. But, we are surrounded by events and things which are clearly Bible verses screaming to us in the news headlines. A whole lot is happening. A whole lot. As for Israel, you talk about Israel, it's a whole set of, information altogether. Their existence as a country itself is Bible prophecy unfolding, which has unfolded right from their independence to now. So the existence of Israel itself is a clear affirmation that this is the end time. Israel's existence as a country, the revival of the Hebrew language being restored, all these are Bible prophecies. I think some years back I tweeted a lot, that Israel series or something. And you see, so everything is pointing to the fact that we cannot live as we used to live all the time. Yes, we may be lazy, we may be, joking with our Christian life and all that, but a time comes when we should be serious. And that is the whole essence of these programs. This is the time to be serious. We can't keep on joking all the time. It's time to be serious. I'll be back briefly after this song by Steve Green.
I regret the hours I have wasted and the pleasures I have tasted that you were never in. And I confess that though your love is in me, it doesn't always win me when competing with my sin. And I repent, making no excuses. I repent, no one else to blame. And I bow down on my knees and I repent. I lament the idols I've accepted, the commandments I've rejected to pursue my selfish end. And I confess I need you to revive me, put selfishness behind me and take up my cross again.
Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. This is Eben. I Repent by Steve Green. You know, the song is really a loaded one and a prayer that we should really pray. And, you know, it's unfortunate that some believe that Christians, there's, we don't have to repent again. And it's unfortunate that's not the case. Repentance is part of Christianity. I mean, else the letters that Jesus wrote to the churches through John in the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3, then that means Jesus was making a mistake because he was asking them to repent, repent, repent. So for those who say that Christians should not repent, I don't know which Bibles you read and how you understand what you read. You know, the song says, I regret the hours I've wasted and the pleasures I have tasted that you were not in. And indeed, we are wasting a lot of hours on fruitless and unnecessary things. And the devil has designed things to really waste our hours. I mean, we are wasting a lot of time on useless and on fruit, things which bear no fruits. I mean, we are wasting time. TV, entertainment, social media, we are wasting time, hours upon hours, just going down the drain. We should reflect on these things and start withdrawing ourselves from these things and minimize how we waste our time on things which have no bearing, does not add any value to our lives. It's just a time waster and a drainer of our resources. And goes on to say, in the pleasures, tasted that you were not in. And I confess that though your love is in me, it doesn't always win me when competing with my sin. You know, we keep struggling with various sins, up and down, up and down. I mean, we should confront it and deal with them. Ask the Holy Spirit to help, as possible, to walk away from these things. Because we can't see, else these things will keep pushing us down and we can't have an effective, victorious Christian life. Because we've gotten to the point where we have to now focus on what is important. So if we keep allowing sin to draw us back all the time, how can we focus on the greater spiritual things? I repent, making no excuses. I repent. No one else to blame, and I return to fall in love with Jesus. I bow down on my knees and I repent. I lament the idols I have accepted. And yeah, the idols of our times are not the wooden or the metal idols we know, I mean, which people worship elsewhere in times past and all that. But even a mobile phone now is an idol to a lot of us. A mobile phone has become an idol to a lot of believers. Television has become an idol to a lot of believers. Internet has become an idol to a lot of believers. I mean, a whole lot of things have become idols in our lives. Because these are competing with God and virtually pushing God out of our lives. Because of these idols, we don't even serve God effectively. Because of these idols, our prayer lives gone down. Because of these idols, we don't read the Bible, we don't have time to study. Perhaps previously you could read and pray and meditate on the word, spend time in his presence, enjoy his presence. Now, everything, just a few minutes and it's over. And it's like, there's no more time again. Our priorities have changed because idols have come to take the place of God in our lives. Let's repent. Let's repent. The commandments I've rejected to pursue my selfish end. And then I confess, I need you to revive me. Put selfishness behind me and take up my cross again. Indeed, we need to take up our crosses again. You know, yes, I mean, it may be like, well, you've gone down again, you are struggling. Yes, it's time to pick up. Let's pick up from wherever we are falling. Let's get up. Let's shake ourselves off and get back on track again. Because we cannot stay down there in our sins. We cannot stay down there in our failures, in our lukewarmness, and be comfortable there. I mean, what do we gain in that state of lukewarmness? What do we gain in that state of sin? Repent and seek forgiveness, and he will ever forgive you. And I return to fall in love with Jesus. I bow down on my knees and I repent. You know, that's the song, and that's a prayer I believe we should pray as often as necessary in our lives. The essence of tonight's edition is to awaken us, to alert us about the things surrounding us, the tightening of the systems gradually. You know, Africa may delay in some of these things a bit, but elsewhere things are really shaping up faster than one thought. And it's just a matter of time that their global resets that they are seeking to do, we'll see how things are shaping up, are going to shape up. But ultimately, if you do a real study of the Bible and you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and to show you things, what is coming, and teach you, give you understanding of His word and all that, clearly, we are living in the pages of the Bible. Let me put it that way. We are living in the pages of the Bible. We are seeing things no other generation has seen before. No other generation has seen the things we are seeing. And we are going to see more. But the times we are in calls for spiritual seriousness and a spiritual awakening, reviving ourselves. You know, we don't need a pastor to come and revive you. You have to revive yourself. You know, at the end of the day, it's each one for himself. I mean, you are not going to give an account based on your pastor's report, no. Neither is your pastor going to give an account based on your attendance or your report. Each one for himself. And if we don't renew our minds to the fact that, sometimes we live as if there's no heaven to go to. A lot of Christians live as if there's no heaven to go to. There's no judgment to awaiting us. There's heaven to go to. There's also judgment awaiting us. As to whichever way it is, whether for good or for bad, that's the lifestyles we are living that determines. I mean, Ecclesiastes is clear about it. Let me just read that one as well, because it's an important verse indeed. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13 and 14. I always like referring to it because it really summarizes our whole essence in this life. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad or it be evil. So if we forget that this is awaiting us, then I'm reminding you this evening that we will give account of our lives, how we wasted our times, how we wasted the opportunities He gave us, how we just allow the world system to just snatch us away from God's hands. We are going to give an account. So if we remind ourselves of the reality of eternity and the reality of the existence of heaven and hell, it should cause us to wake up from our slumber and to get on track. It's important we revive ourselves. I mean, we it's like, not that we have a choice. We don't have a choice. It's either we revive ourselves or we are off the system. The spiritual system, you are off. I mean, that means then you are backsliding, you are going off, leaving the faith. But what is the use? Why start a journey and you can't complete it? Why start a race and then you will not be able to finish it? The finishing is even more important, because so many people start, if you look at marathon races, some when they start, you see everybody running, hey, giddy, 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 oh, this one, oh. By the time they first kilometer, some have started dropping off. Second, by the time they get to the 20th, 30th kilometers, so I mean, now the spacing, then you see the smoothness level. Those who are the leaders are going, and then the middle class people, and then the last people who are just, they just came to also participate. They just came there to write their names. They are also in. See, and you know, that's how life is. Starting is important, but finishing. You see, and we are at a point where we now have to be focused on finishing the race. I mean, that should be that's the whole essence of these things we talk about. Because the devil is now bringing in things to ensure that we cannot finish the race successfully, or we cannot even finish it at all. That's the whole essence of these persecutions and the challenges and the trials that are coming. It's just to try and stop us, because the devil knows his time is short. So he is now doing his best to ensure that he stops as many people he can, not to make it to heaven. So when we are abreast with this information, then we also now focus our minds on how to finish and finish well. Because if we don't even remind ourselves that we are in a race that we have to finish, can we be serious in a race? No. So we have to remind ourselves we are in a race. There's heaven to go to. There's heaven we must strive to enter. Yes, there's heaven. If you've forgotten that there's heaven to go to, I'm reminding you that there's heaven we should strive to enter. It's unfortunate that heaven is not even being talked about in most churches these days again. Heaven is not even being mentioned in most churches again. How can it be? We don't want to talk about heaven again. As for hell, they forget. That one, they don't even dare mention it. But these are the realities. If we've forgotten these principles, these facts that exist and are real, I'm reminding us tonight that there's a heaven we have to strive to go to. Unless you are not interested. But if we are interested in going to heaven, this is a reminder, a wake-up call, a boost. To boost your energy, revive you, to re-energize you, to get back on track, that there's a heaven we have to strive to go to. So that let's seek the needed help from the Holy Spirit to guide us, to aid us, the wisdom that we need. Let's ask him for it, to guide us, to aid us, to enable us to make it, to finish successfully, to go through the difficult times ahead. I've seen countless prophecies in the last few weeks and days, and the Lord keeps saying, the deception is rife. We are seeing it. People are being given false hope. Oh, all is well, all is well. While the true prophets are saying that all is not well. All is not well. All is not well. But people don't want to listen to it. All is not well. The times ahead are going, it's not about scaring you, but it's about the facts. All is not well. Let's prepare and get ourselves for the times ahead, because the times ahead are not easy walk in the park. No. The times ahead are going to try our faith. It's going to try our faith. So that's why we have to build and stock up our faith. We have to build ourselves now. Now that all seems to be well, this is the time to build ourselves up spiritually. Because it's just like an instrumentalist. You don't tune your instruments when the concert has started. You do pray concerts, rehearsals. That's when you tune your instruments. When the concert starts, you are now going to tune your instruments. You are not a serious instrumentalist. That's how, we can't say, if you don't prepare now, and we wait, and then when the heat turns up, before we are now going to get serious, we'll struggle then, because at that point, if you are not careful, you leave the faith, because it's like you are caught in the surprise and the disappointment, and if you are not careful, you blame God and leave the faith. But if we equip ourselves, we grow ourselves now spiritually, and the Holy Spirit is guiding us and leading us, he will show us what is coming. He will show us how to grow. He will show us what to do and how to do and when to do things. You see, if we are, when he is leading us, when we are spirit-led, then he is leading. He is leading. Pass here. No, don't pass here. Don't go here. Go here. Don't go here. He is guiding. He is leading us. But if we are on our own, then we are on our own. Then when we crash, before we now call on God, no. By the way, see, there's a time when you call on God and he will not hear. We forget those verses in the Bible. There's also a time when you call on God and he will turn his face away. Those verses are also in the Bible. So we shouldn't think that we can treat God as a spare tire all the time. When we are in trouble, then we quickly rush to him. When we are in trouble, quickly rush to him. One day you open your spare tire and then the spare tire too is flat. And then you realize that here is trouble. Yes, a time will come, you call on God and you also turn away. Because you've been living your life without him, living in sin all the time, and you think he's just a spare tie. And then the day when you now think you need him seriously, that one too, you call on him and he'll also not be away. He'll also not be available for you. Yes, these are the realities that we don't want to hear. But that is it. We have to get right with God now that we have the opportunity. We have to get right with God when it is possible to do it now, when things are not as difficult as it is. I mean, bottom line, you don't even need to be a prophet to know that things are going to be hard in the times ahead. You don't need to be a prophet. It's, if you follow the world trend of events, the global news, the business news, the trend is obvious. The trend is obvious. You don't need to be a specialist. The trend is obvious. The world economy is going to crash. I mean, to be more serious in the coming year. It's obvious. Difficult times. So when the prophets are warning about these things, it's not surprising. But because we are not even willing to hear and listen to them, those people, don't mind them. But the Lord is giving warnings, countless warnings, that we should prepare, put a house in order. But the warnings have been coming, different people, the warnings have been coming. Because you can see that these warnings all line up with the word of God. But because we are being deceived that all is well, nothing is coming, all is well, nothing is coming, so people are turning a blind eye to it and a deaf ear to it. But at least for the listeners of this program, please heed the call and do what you have to do to build yourself up spiritually. More prayer, more Bible reading and studying. Let's get focused. Let's get serious. Let's cut the things that are weighing us down, the worldly things that are delaying and drawing us away. Let's cut them off. I mean, some are not necessarily sin, but they are just weights, unnecessary weights we've added to ourselves, which are just weighing us down. Just weighing us down, delaying us, drawing us, losing us, making us lose focus. Let's get focused and realign ourselves and decide to grow in the Lord. I hope this file will be uploaded to spiritissues.info. The news will also be activated. I'll try and do all that tonight. And you can get it at spiritissues.info. And you can listen to it, you can download and listen to it, and also share it with others. This is Eben, and Issues of Life is the program. And we thank God for another edition. God willing, next week you'll be coming your way. Good night, and God bless you.
I regret the hours I have wasted and the pleasures I have tasted that you were never in. And I confess that though your love is in me, it doesn't always win me when competing with my sin. And I repent, making no excuses. I repent, no one else to blame. And I return to fall in love with Jesus. I bow down on my knees and I repent. I lament the idols I've accepted, the commandments I've rejected, to pursue my selfish end. And I confess I need you to revive me. Put selfishness behind me and take up my cross again. And I repent, making no excuses. I repent, no one else to blame. And I return to fall in love with Jesus. I bow.
I repent.